Our God is with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But what if salt were to lose its flavor? How could you restore it? It would be fit for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. You do not build a city on a hill, then try to hide it, do you? You do not light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket, do you? No, you set it on a stand where it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, your light must shine before others so that they may see your good acts and give praise to your God in heaven." The good news. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I'll bet that this has happened to each of you. A dream, a story, a song, a poem, something intriguing keeps showing up in your life over and over again. And with each appearance, you feel even more convinced it's there to teach you something. But what? As most of you probably know, our readings for liturgy are on a 3-year cycle. Today is the 5th Sunday of Ordinary Time, Cycle A. So 3 years ago, in early February, we heard these same readings you heard today. I presided and preached on that Sunday in 2023. Also, 3 years earlier in 2020, it was my turn to preach on these readings. The same was true for 2017. And 2014. So this is the 5th consecutive homiletic encounter I have had with the readings for the 5th Sunday of Ordinary Time, Cycle A. Not only that, the gospel passage you just heard is the same one that I was assigned to preach about 7 months ago at the Mass at the Dignity USA National Conference in Dublin, Ohio. Do you suppose the Holy Spirit is trying to tell me something? For 12 years, Isaiah and Paul and the Jesus of Matthew's gospel have been teaching me about my light. Even today's psalm response says that those who are generous, merciful, and just are lights in the darkness. How I love these readings. But I must be missing something. The message that I am and you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that message is meant to take me to a new state of awareness. Its appearance over and over again in my heart and my mind both delights and challenges me. It's a message that grabs me and won't let go. It's as if the Spirit keeps telling me to go deeper. Where is the Spirit trying to take me? In my past commentaries on these readings, I have pointed out the wonder and beauty of the light and salt metaphors. I have noted, however, that they are more than metaphors. It is literally true that we are salt and light. The chemistry of the human body includes sodium chloride, salt. And scientists tell us that light is an essential component of every atom in the universe. We are salty and we glow. biblical folks did not take either for granted. Salt was of great value as a food preservative, and it was used in some places as currency, money. And once night fell, all the precious light they could get came from building fires. Nobody wasted it by hiding it under a bushel basket. Comparing us to salt and light, that's big. Jesus could hardly have picked better images to teach us about who we most truly are and the goodness of which we are capable. Still, what am I missing? In previous homilies on these readings, I remarked on how this broken world is in such need of people who are salt of the earth, meaning real and honest and down to earth. I have spoken of the painful darkness that can only be penetrated by our light. In my 2023 homily on these readings, I mentioned the racist murder of Emmett Till in 1955. His body was grotesquely disfigured, but Emmett's salt of the earth mother insisted on an open casket at his funeral. "I wanted the world to see what they did to my baby," she said. That was a glaring, harsh, truth-filled light. And out of love for her son, she would not allow it to be hidden. Is there a truth-filled light that I'm hiding or just not seeing? Recent events in Minneapolis have demonstrated for us what it means to be salt and light. We have seen relentless protests in sub-zero temperatures by salty, glowing people. Courageous ones who take out their phone cameras and shine upon the evil inflicted on their city in order to expose it. Sunlight, we are told, is the best disinfectant. Revealing the injustices of their unwanted invaders is a dangerous practice, and martyrdom is always a possibility. Rene Good, Alex Preti. We say their names with reverence and respect. People of salt and light must be brave. The good news is that they are brave. And I am comforted and hopeful because of their love of justice. I want to be more like them. Others in the Twin Cities do even more. They take seriously Isaiah's teaching in today's first reading, which Barbara did so beautifully. Share your bread with those who are hungry. Shelter homeless people. Clothe those you see naked. Then your light will shine like the dawn. They shine their light not just on the perpetrators of violence in their streets, but also on the victims of their hatred and cruelty. Had Isaiah been writing now, he might have added, "Warn your brown-skinned neighbors when ICE is around. Refuse to cooperate with unlawful demands. Tell the truth about government corruption and racism." Is there a lesson in all of that which has been eluding me in one ear and out the other? In other sermons on these readings, I have commented on the symbol of the bushel basket, an instrument in Jesus' teaching intended to hide the light. That basket could have a name. It could be called pessimism or despair. Real basket case had names for his baskets. He had names for his baskets. In today's readings, he called them weakness, fear, and trepidation. The excuses we all come up with to justify covering up our light. Paul, like everyone else, had to learn to submit to the divine power within him if his light was ever going to shine. Am I failing to learn that? In my written reflections over the years on today's gospel, I have focused on what a great compliment Jesus gives his followers by calling them salt and light. Salt of the earth and light of the world. He wants them to know how powerful they are, even when they think they are not. The word compliment comes from a Latin word that means that which fills up or completes. Compliments complete you. Sincere ones tell you who you most truly are, and they make you want to live up to them. Jesus was reminding his audience of the truth that they are as precious as salt, and that they are capable of flooding the whole sad world with light. We, his followers, need to believe that with all our hearts. What am I missing? Yes, I have reflected on today's powerful readings numerous times, having had to study them and compose sermons on them, and I can hardly come up with something new to say about them. Yet it somehow seems that the Spirit, as she always does, has been trying to tell me something new. I think I may have found it in, of all places, today's second reading. You know, the one that each Sunday preachers tend to ignore. My message and my preaching, Paul says, did not rest on philosophical arguments, but on the convincing power of the Spirit. He goes on to tell his readers, your faith rests not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. In other words, no amount of brilliant scholarship or impeccable logic from the most esteemed thinkers in the world can plumb the mystery of our salt and our light. Jesus' faith in us that led him to compliment us so highly, that faith can't be figured out. It's beyond all comprehension. So why bother to try? My friends, what I think I've sometimes been missing all these years is the joy in this message. Enjoy the compliment, Richard. Let its simplicity fill you with wonder. Let go of theologizing. Not that that's a bad thing, but it can only take you so far. If you want your heart to be truly moved by this teaching, if you want to be salt and light in exciting and creative ways, you have to just let go and enjoy. Joy. It's not human wisdom. It's not philosophical arguments that satisfy the soul. It's the power of the Spirit. And that divine Spirit is always within you. So enjoy. Enjoy. Finally, when these readings come up again on the fifth Sunday in ordinary time in 2029, I would dearly like someone else to preach about them. Five times in a row is enough. Meanwhile, we shall all find joy in being salt and light for one another. Amen. And God's people say, Amen. Amen.